And this is the hour we take your phone calls. You've heard what we've been talking with Stephen Quayle about. End times, Ebola, the missing Malaysian plane, the situation in Israel, Ukraine. We've got it all with Steve and you next on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back with Steve Quayle, noted author, True Legends, Angel Wars, Breathe No Evil, Xenogenesis, Long Walker. Stephen, how many do you have now?
I'm up to 10. And Xenogenesis has been just remarkable. It's all over the world because it's so pertinent. And people are now saying, the two books that you've written out of the 10, what would you start with? What would you end with? I said, Aliens and Fallen Angels, The Sexual Corruption of the Human Race, and Xenogenesis. And unless they're pirated versions, they're only available on my website. But Xenogenesis is, I mean, it's like the headlines come alive, George. And so the fascinating thing is True Legends has been remarkably successful from people that just, they hear about the Hopi prophecies. They hear about this, they hear about that, whether it's Bigfoot legend. And I answer in True Legends why all of the artifacts and the Upars, out-of-place artifacts, why the control by the Smithsonian and other, why the government sends in and their goon squads when anything important is found. And by the way, usually a true, whether it's Mel's hole or the Siberian holes or whatever, the bottom line is the government secures those. And interestingly enough, a lot of the secret bases are built on Native American lands, and they're built there for a reason because of Stargates. And when people see the little swirls, is just a bit of information, swirls like a curlicue type situation or a spiral like the Norway spiral on rocks and artifacts all over the world, that usually indicates the presence of a Stargate.
That's now, tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, I think the fascinating thing is that I in my book True Legends, I quote a lot from one of the government's own publications where they spend big dollars to chronicle all of the Native Americans, not only their legends, but to investigate a lot of their sacred places. And what's fascinating, no place in the manuscript, a couple hundred pages, do they ever deny that this stuff exists. But what's fascinating, they certainly don't deny their takeover of those locations either. So right now, George, I have a new editor for my Spanish site, and I don't speak Spanish. I wish I did, but Timothy Alberino, and right now we've got an expedition forming. Tim is a young man. He's 30 years old, lived in the jungles of Peru, gets this stuff. And on my website, the Alberino Analysis, and you've never watched that, I would say this, I'm privileged to have him working alongside me. But he goes into the red-haired giants in North America. He deals with the time tunnels. He's going to be doing one on Pember's Earth's Earliest Ages. And one of the most amazing books written at the turn of the century was called Earth's Earliest Ages. And it, Tom Horn brought it back into publication. But fascinating. So Timothy Alberino, when you go to my website, stevequayle.com, over on the right-hand side, and Tim gets this stuff. And so he's heading up an expedition to some pretty remarkable places, and it's totally different than just the alien skulls that are being done. That all is important, really important, and very timely. But the point that's fascinating is all over the world, there are locations, and whether they're on ley lines or whatever, that the indigenous people always said were the gateways to the stars, hence the word star gateway. And you know, the point being is stargates, and when you identify these, but I'm talking about contemporary people that have literally watched them open in South America and places in Asia, and people coming back and forth. And you probably know this, but the reports coming out of CERN, the relative, you know, a heavy ion collider that basically is supposed to be the doorway to eternity, though they're doubling up the power. And even when they didn't double up the power, some of the scientists got a hold of me. We talked about this through a third party because obviously they don't want to be tracked to me directly, the point, for their own job safety. The point is that they talked about the entities they saw, almost like the old movie The Time Tunnel, George.
That's
exactly what this is. So True Legends, and on the front of True Legends, it shows the Paiute Indian myth of giants so big that they could literally run and take a buffalo under the arm. Now, people thought this stuff was all crazy, But now it goes back to the first hour of the show when you've got Giants and Gog and Magog, and you cannot get away, historically and honestly, you can't get away from the presence of giants, ancient civilizations, sacred places, and, quote, the gods coming to Earth and cohabiting with Earth women and producing, if you will, the ultimate Ubermensch or the Superman. And that's what all genetic engineering is being done now, the cultivation of DNA and the location. This is why... when you find any kind of giants with actual tissue, whether it's in a molar or it's in a finger that's mummified, where you can extract the DNA, just imagine the whole plan of a super soldier with those types of abilities. So that's what the world's fighting over. The world's fighting over, unfortunately, better ways to kill each other. God knows that until they come to the point that they realize it's folly, they're going to continue to kill each other, and death is the order of the day unless there's life. And I'm telling you this, that's where we're headed.
All right, let's go to the calls. Lots of folks lining up here for you, Stephen. We'll start by going to Mike in Plainville, Connecticut on the wild card line. Hey, Mike, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
George, thanks for taking my call. Another terrific show. You're batting 1,000.
Thank you, my friend.
Steve, I'd like to ask you 2 questions briefly. First question is on the estimate, the number of foreign troops in the United States. What's your estimate?
I was told by a 4-star general, active duty special operations command, 386,000 4 years ago. I believe the last time I was told, 2 years ago, they had just about doubled that. And again, I want you to know this is 4-star active duty. This is not a retired general or a friend of a friend of a friend. So three-quarters of a million.
Where are they housing these military?
Great question. I have an answer for you. Throughout the country, when George Bush Sr. was president, he donated or closed down a whole bunch of bases. So I think it's like around 105 to 125. And Basically, all of those bases were Cold War bases, so they had massive underground facilities. Not only that, but they purchased a lot of closed-down hotels, motels, resort areas, fascinating even industrial zones. All throughout the areas that are distressed, they have massive, massive capability and war position material. For instance, a guy after I did Coast to Coast a couple years ago with George called me and said, look, I was on the Columbia River. And I'm a building inspector, and he said, a certain town, and he said, I had to go into a warehouse, and because they had a water main break or something, and it was guarded, but he said, I saw, literally, he said, as far as the eye could see, I saw crates and crates of military supplies, and he said, they're written in Cyrillic. So this stuff is all prepositioned in this country.
I don't know how you can keep a major operation like this so secret.
Well, it's not secret. I think that's where you're making the mistake. We invited the Russians into this country under, when Janet Reno and her forebear, Napolitano, a friend of mine, got a copy of the letter that our Department of Homeland Security, requested the Russian presence. We're paying for them here. And the point being is, so you've listened to talk radio, sir, you know that there's Russians on all these bases, and they claim they're joint training missions. And by the way, it's not just Russians. We have Chinese in the country. We have everybody from the Germans to the Royal Air Force of Singapore. So the point is that they usually bivouac them, the obvious ones on base. They put the full fighting forces in the underground bases, and then the special operations go into the fields and the forests and the different fields of their concern all throughout the country, whether it's in the mountains of Alabama, Georgia, Michigan. Michigan seems to have a whole huge presence, and fascinating, even some of the old resorts that were prime, to the Chicago gangsters have been purchased by foreign military assets.
What about the old Cold War bases up in Maine and New York State?
Absolutely. Yes, sir. See, this is the thing, too. The idea is that what most people don't understand is that when this thing comes down, okay, the Canadian border will be closed up. You won't be able to run to Canada. And look at, I'm not in the military, but it's a classic military move. We have the northern border closed to American citizens, and try and be an American citizen and cross into the border in Canada and see how you're treated versus when they come into the United States and are treated. I'm just saying this, that, and then you've got a completely open border on the southern border. Plus, you know, it's no secret there are massive military training camps for terrorists in the United States, and the government says nothing. So let me say this. It's not hidden. It's hidden in plain sight. Most of these people, too, have been trained to speak English, to speak colloquial English. So it's not like you're dealing with somebody out of a Rocky and Bullwinkle movie, you know, Boris Badenov. I'm just saying there used to be the typical spy language of the, you know, whatever. Or same thing with Chinese. We're talking about people that actually speak English better than we do.
Our friend Alex Jones, Steve, thinks there's about 200,000 foreign troops here. So there's the range, 200 to your...
Yeah, there's a range, but again, I'll quote my source, and I don't argue with Alex, but I'm just telling you point blank that I'm in, and so is he. I guess you can say, is my source better than his? No. Let's just say this. There's no argument they're here, and a quarter million's an awful lot, and then with National Defense Authorization 1867... That's a scary thing when our government maintains the right to kill anybody, anytime, any way, no questions asked. See, that's why people get so upset when I say the old United States, everything that you knew used to make you proud and used to be able to stand for, when they who supposedly represent the people don't honor the laws of this nation and don't honor the Constitution, and everybody in the world's got more rights than you do. Let's just take the immigrant situation. $6,000 a month is being advertised as the payment to take care of one immigrant child. Well, that's $72,000 a year. Two children in your home is $144,000. The point being on this is simply this. We've got veterans, and I'm a veterans advocate. And you know, George, nothing raises my fury worse than the way that the veterans have been treated.
I know.
Heard of them being dying. And look, I'm not on a soapbox, but what's right is right. And these men were promised, and these women were promising, and there's nothing that infuriates me more than to say that veterans who can take a gun and basically go out and kill the enemies of the United States, then they become the enemies of the United States, and the authorities want to take their guns. The reason they want the veterans disarmed, because they're trained fighting force. So I believe that we are absolutely at the verge of total civil war, anarchy in this country, and when it plays out, it's not going to be pretty.
Sherry is in Kerrville, Texas. Hi, Sherry. Welcome to the program.
Hi, George. Hi, Steve. Fascinating. There's just a lot of information. And there's so much of it. It's scary. I wanted to know, did you guys know that many that are coming over the border, Steve had said something about OTLs, but they're the OTMs other than Mexicans. There have been 71 illegals that have come over that are from three countries that in Africa that is now having the Ebola outbreak.
Yeah, no, you're right. You talk about
Pakistanis.
You don't need the airlines. They're coming right through.
Yeah, and the Chinese, there's thousands of them. So many Chinese coming in that they had to put Mandarin on the signs. So you've got English, Spanish, and then Chinese, you know, Mandarin.
But you know, Stephen, this, and you're right, Sherry, this has been going on for years. All parties are responsible for this illegal situation, Steve.
Well, absolutely, and the caller is absolutely right. The thing is that it's when I say open, the Border Patrol is frustrated. I talked to the Border Patrol, and what the caller just said is absolutely true. And it's a, how do I say this? It's a surgical strike without bombers and artillery, but it's a definite war upon the infrastructure and upon states' rights. This is why Rick Perry, governor of Texas, got into such a battle. And I don't know if anybody saw that, but what you had when Perry was trying to make serious points was you had the president of the United States cracking jokes. Well, it's no joke to me.
It's not funny.
For my kids, your kids, our kids, grandkids. It makes me furious. And one thing that people have got to understand, Texas has probably one of the most amazing histories of standing against tyranny, and they want to make a showcase out of Texas. I've said that Texas has been under war, weather warfare for 20 years. I can prove it. I'm not going to argue with anybody. I can prove it. The point being is that the disease, you know, the disease is and pun intended, is festering. And tuberculosis? Come on. They've even let guys go with tuberculosis. The Border Patrol guys said they've checked some of their arrestees or detainees out for some of these diseases, and they're getting really nasty. The one that's critical that people aren't even discussing and they're keeping quiet is pneumonic plague. You see, they want to allow all this to come through the border before they start to even acknowledge this. And I'm saying this, anybody who believes that the truth can be found in many of the major network news programs, it doesn't matter, they're three letters, four letters, it doesn't matter. The point being is that they do not tell the truth. They're all owned by the same people at the top. And so if you listen to that, you're already dumb unto death. And I'm sorry, but that's true.
Let's go to Brad in Syracuse, New York. Got a quick moment for you, Brad, before the break. Go ahead.
How you doing, Stephen? I'm George.
Good.
My question is, Stephen, is when I listen to this, people speak of martial law and what would provoke martial law, and it would gradually morph into a martial law if people start panicking like crazy. And then you wonder, how can your local sheriff's department go along with maybe enforcing it? Well, that's when you talk about the UN coming in, and eventually it's a one-world government and one-world religion, and I call that Plan A. I wonder what your thoughts were.
Well, I agree with you, and let me tell you what I was briefed again by the same four-star general, actually a bunch of them, and I won't even tell where they're at or anything because, you know, that's not important. I've always learned in getting intel, George, and callers, that once I verify that they are who they are, I don't want to know who A talked to, his name. I don't want to know names. Same thing when I was dealing with interviewing different Russians or different, you know, former espionage or counter-espionage guys after the Cold War. I just want to know the details. And I tell everybody, pray about it. Here's what Plan A is. Martial law is already in effect if you think of military rule. When you've got the military on the streets of America, remember when they had their exercises and the posse comitatus and stuff? Now the point is they're flat out taking control of different areas. And under martial law, and I want to make this clear, martial law just means military control of the justice system. Given everything that's in place, we're in that phase where the only thing that's left to do is to basically have it come into everyone's consciousness right away. And I mean awareness that that's the state we're in right now, and all the FEMA camps and everybody, the undesirables. But let me share this to the military.
30 seconds, Stephen. Go ahead.
Police and law enforcement. I was told by the same general within 30 to 45 days, and also one of the top-ranking members of the Environmental Protection Agency before he was murdered, that once the military and the police go along with killing their fellow countrymen, not all will, I'm not saying that, but the ones that do, then they get taken out too. And that's from a general in Special Operations Command and from a former head of the EPA who was murdered for giving the red list, the blue list, and the green list.
We're going to come back and take final phone calls with Stephen Quayle on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, I might have Jesse Ventura as part of our guest list. Maybe. We're still working on that, so I can't confirm that. We're going to come back in a moment with Stephen Quayle. We'll take our final phone calls here as we talk about all world issues on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, Stephen Quayle with us. Stephen, also, have you ever seen a time where so many people are acting weird?
No, and I think that it's twofold. I think basically as the sun has gone into a different active mode, even at times seeming quiet. I think also, George, that every cell tower, every video game, and every high-definition TV, and by the way, there are studies, people are going to argue with me on this, I believe that the United States specifically, Europe secondarily, are under a full-scale electromagnetic mind control program, okay? they know from the human body's response, Becker's book, The Body Electric, there's so many great books out there on it, but you can agitate a person by increasing the frequency. You can put them to sleep by literally decreasing the frequency. And electronic mind control, it is, when I say mind control, it's not the stuff of science fiction. Isn't it amazing, too, that everything that used to be quote-unquote conspiracy theory, they can't use that argument anymore because it's in play. So I think people are getting absolutely agitated. And I believe, too, and I'm on record, I've said this 23 years ago, that we are going to see such supernatural demonic attacks. You're seeing people from the guy that basically just said a demon possesses him, and he attacks little children. I'm not obviously defending that. I'm just saying people are going, they're losing it. And what they're losing is the ability to cognitively process data. They're basically frustrated. Their emotions are getting triggered, and they have no coping skills. Basically, the neurochemistry in their brain is under attack by the food they eat, by the water they drink, and by, obviously, the television programming. You know, again, Marshall McLuhan, when he made the statement, the media is the message. That's exactly what's going on. And when I say exactly, this is why I tell people, listen, they've got to, and some, you typically ask me, what can a person do? Well, look, I made the decision years ago to get right with God. And the people, there are people that believe that, obviously, Lucifer's coming back to save them. The New Agers believe the Space Brothers are coming back. And I tell people, I read all Zachariah Sitchin's work when, unfortunately, he's passed away now. And the only thing is that the only difference between the evidence that he supports his claim, and I use some of that same evidence, is why is it so easy to believe in aliens, yet so hard to believe in angels, a higher level of beings? And in all my books, George, I deal with the war that took place. See, I'm not a 6,000-year-old guy. In other words, I believe Adam and Eve were created 6,000 years ago, and they were creating God's image and likeness. But prior to that, in what the Golden Age, all of the legends of Atlantis, Lemuria, Mu, Hyperborea, Shangri-La, all that stuff was in a predated period. And I spend a great deal of time in my book explaining that. And for people that would like that, they can go to Custance. This has anything to do with me. It's free. Custance.org, Custance.org, and read between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. When you have a world that was void and without form, and when God commands his new creation to replenish the earth, well, how do you replenish something unless it hadn't already been there? So the great wars that took place, whether it's Noah's flood, and primarily there was a flood before Noah called Jeremiah's flood. So when God in Ezekiel addresses Lucifer and tells him, you were in the garden of God, the Eden of God, till iniquity was found in you. You see, what I'm saying is this. The ancient alien theorists, okay, are looking for the ancient aliens as God. My question to them is, who made those guys? And what makes anyone think that if deception is an integral part of the universe as well as truth, and there are truths, the point being is that obviously this good and evil, the yin and yang, the contrapposto, the counterpoint, the whole issue of good and evil, then how do they explain it? Why would not the aliens then be benevolent if they are God? Yet they come and they basically, isn't it amazing? It all boils down to this. It all boils down to they want to have the same pleasures with Earth women as Earth men did. So evidently, something so unique about the creation of man. I believe God made man and woman in his image and likeness, but prior to that, there was other stuff, other beings, other entities, other creations that got wiped out, and that something new happened 6,000 years ago. But when I go into the Table of Kings of the Sumerian tablets, 241,000 years old, I mean, I've done my research. I think most people who have listened to me all these years know that, and I can explain that, and I can explain it not at the expense of mocking what they believe, but just helping them to understand that there is no war. And see, that's what puts me at odds with a lot of evangelical Christians that basically just don't want to accept the fact that maybe what they've been told isn't accurate. So I believe it's all in the Word of God, the Bible, and I won't argue with people. I said, listen, I've written 10 books, spent 43 years of my life investigating this, interviewing this stuff, and I'm not set in my ways. I'm open to being wrong, and I'm not right on everything. I wish I were, but I'm not. But I'm fallible. I'm human. But I can only say this, that in the preponderance of evidence, in an intellectual and honest argument, the evidence backs up the position I present.
Okay, back to the phones we go. Derek in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hey, Derek, go ahead.
Yes, I was wondering, Stephen, what you know about negative blood type, Rh negative blood type, and how, you know, it's very different than most people that have Rh positive. You know, it didn't, as far as we know, scientifically didn't evolve from monkeys. My second question is, it talks about how it says those who claim to be Jews but are not are of a synagogue of Satan. I was wondering your opinion on the Ashkenazi, Khazarian tribe, race, whatever you want to call it, that's running Israel right now, and I'll take your question off here.
Whoa. I mean, that's about a 10-hour discussion. Let me do the Rh first, okay?
Sure.
The Rh, I do not know. Some people have asked me, is that a fallen angel marker? Absolutely not, okay? I do not understand it, and when I don't understand something, I just got to admit it, okay? And I don't have enough to add, but I do not believe that that is any way indicative of evolution. I believe that obviously we've got the basic blood types and that Rh is a different blood type, but I personally cannot speak to that, okay? I just don't have enough knowledge. Now I'll deal with the other thing. It seems like in history there are two seeds, okay? Obviously there are two twins. You have Jacob and Esau. You have the whole situation when Jesus said you're of your father the devil, okay? The reason the Ashkenaz and the Magyars are not truly Semitic people, okay? Now, if you convert to Judaism as they did, they obviously made an intellectual and a choice to do that. But the point is that when Jesus saw Nathanael sitting on a tree, he said, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile." Well, obviously, I get hit all the time, and I'm sure, you know, this is maybe part of your question. Well, don't you know the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers control the world? I said, I knew that like 43 years ago. But the point is, it's not who controls them. It's the devil controls them all. The same spirit that controls the Chinese, who, believe me, do not have any Khazarian blood, but are in league. At the top of the level, at the top levels, they're all flat-out Luciferians slash and or Satanists and or Illuminists. Now, saying that, there are Jews who claim to be Jews that are not. Jesus rebuked a lot of them and said, "You're of your father, the devil." Well, obviously, to most Jews, unless they're Messianic, they do not accept Jesus as the Messiah, okay? So the point being is that there you have the issue again. You have who's a Magyar, who's a Khazarian, who's a true child of Abraham. And I remind everybody, there's 12 tribes of Israel. The Israelites were, and I'm not a British Israelite guy, okay? I want to make that clear. But the true tribes of Israel, of which there were 12, they were dispersed all over the world. And I maintain that ancient technology and the knowledge that they had far surpasses what we give them credit for. So, you know, it will surprise people to find that blonde-haired, blue-eyed Vikings, and some of them get upset at this, but they can probably be traced back specifically to one of the tribes of Israel. Israel was the name given to Jacob after he wrestled with the angel of the Lord, and God changed his name. So the point being is there are two lines or two lineages. The point that I'm just trying to make is that there are Jews who claim to be Jews that were, I guess, intellectual and accepted the tenets of the Jewish faith, but they were not Semitic people. They were not the descendants of Abraham.
Back we go now. More calls. We have Linda in some anonymous city. Go ahead, Linda.
George.
Hi.
The best thing in the world is when you have things like this on to inform all of us of what's going on.
He's very good.
Now, the thing that I have to say is that where I live at, it was told here about 3-4 weeks ago that the police departments are stockpiling ammunition. And the second thing is that two women were standing there on a second floor looking out a window, and three drones flew past the window, and that would make that about 20 foot in the air. Now, what the drones were doing is anybody's guess, and what the ammunition for is also anybody's guess. But I just thought that people, this is in central Illinois, so I thought maybe people should know that it's being stockpiled and that there are drones watching us.
Your comments, Stephen.
Well, first of all, I was one of the guys that basically broke a lot of the stories about the Department of Homeland Security and other government agencies buying billions of rounds of ammunition, and that's B with a billion. I broke the story about the civilian police force, which basically is the Department of Homeland Security. I'm the one that said, watch the U.S. I'm talking over a decade ago, watch the U.S. Military become decimated. We've seen flag officers, generals. We've seen now, what, another close to 1,200 majors being let go of the Army?
Yep.
The point is that the president made a statement. He's going to have his private army. The disparaging part about this statement that I have to make is I got a call from a gentleman who works at a major arms manufacturer, one of the big three, and he said, listen to this, George, he said, we just had a busload of 11 and 12-year-old kids come in under one of the president's programs, and they were using our shooting range to be taught how to use M4s. An M4 is the classic issued military rifle.
How bizarre. And this comes from an anti-gun president.
Yeah, and so, but see, the thing is, if you know anything about, you know, Hitler Youth, if you know anything about even Putin has his Rangers, his kid Rangers, and believe me, they don't go out with Boy Scout whistles and a folding knife. I mean, this is something that's true. So what I'm saying is this to the lady, the drones are everywhere. And I'll tell you something interesting about drones. When they're used outside of the country, you know, they have a specific name for them, Predator. When they're used inside the country, they're called Reaper. And this was told to somebody by a four-star general, active duty, who left the country. That V mentioned is that the drone pilots don't get to talk to each other. So George and Steve, I'm just using us as an example. We're drone pilots. We don't talk to each other about what we did, what we didn't do. You know what I'm saying? Our tasks and assignments.
Right.
They're compartmentalized and they're followed home. They're picked up and they're never allowed to communicate with each other.
It's like the Germans did in their factories. One part didn't know what the other part was doing. They were making parts for the same thing.
Right. And the entire U.S. intelligence agency works on that, which is called, a special compartmentalized intelligence, and that's where clearances come in, SCI clearances. And by the way, the people that think they got some of the top secret clearance are 28 levels above that, and the top level is cosmic and majestic. And I heard during the commercial, obviously, the guy talking about secret space program, that's real, it exists, it has existed some time. And when you get into that stuff, you're at the majestic or, you know, the old MJ-12 level, but it's even beyond that now. It's cosmic clearance. And so, you know, it's hard for people to grasp. And here's what Jesus said. This is an amazing statement because I can only quote him in this realm. Is Jesus said, if I've told you earthly things, you believe me not. How can I tell you heavenly things? Well, people don't believe that the economy is bad. They're sure not interested in how advanced our intergalactic travel is through electrogravitic propulsion. That's a mouthful. So the point is, I find that, George, there's a lot of stuff I'd like to tell, but it's really hard. For instance, when you talk about fallen angels having sex with earth women, they misquote a scripture. Jesus said, in heaven, they're neither given nor taken in marriage, but are as the angels. Yeah, that's in heaven. We're talking about angels that came to earth. And the book of Jude in the New Testament says they kept not their first estate. And Tom Horn says the language in Greek says they inserted themselves into the seed of man. The reason why the fallen angels want to mess with human women is to produce a hybrid race, which they succeeded at just about doing before the flood and after the flood. The Bible's clear in Genesis chapter 6, where there were, you know, obviously giants in those days before the flood and giants after those days. Goliath, by the way, was after the flood. King Og of Bashan, who was 18 feet tall, was after the flood. So again, now instead of having angels coming down on an intergalactic hanky-panky trip, you know, they're now doing it genetically. They're taking their, if you will, hybrid germ seed, or in their case, their alien seed, and they're basically doing an accelerated biological implantation and impregnation, and they're accelerating people. I just got I'm trying to recall who sent it to me. That's irrelevant. But I got an interesting thing about cloning. Here's a science fiction plot for you. Imagine everybody you think in politics, can you even begin to grasp what happens if they're all clones? And I mean, and
bad
I know
clones.
We'd all agree they're clowns, but I'm definitely spelling the word clones.
Let's take a couple more final calls. Cornelius in Louisiana, it's your turn. Go ahead, Corny.
Yeah, all right, George. Corny. Hadn't been called that in God knows how long. Hey, God bless you, Steve and George. My quick question for you is, I don't know if you've seen these new shows like FX, The Strain, and this new show on CBS called Extent, mm-hmm. where Halle Berry gets impregnated by this alien. And it yep. seems like all this stuff that you're talking about is going down. And one more question I wanted to ask you, too. If you're saying that the angels are having sex with female humans, are males having sex with, is there both ways, or is it just going one way?
Yeah, I think it's just one way. 30 seconds, Stephen.
One way, bottom line is there are no female angels, but there are female demons. When there were giants, female giantesses, the British Isles are filled with stories of them. When their spirit, when they die, that spirit became a female demon. That's the whole history behind incubus and succubus.
Stephen, my friend, thank you. Let's stay in touch, okay?
Thank you, George. And by the way, again, my website's the only place you can buy my book, Steve Quayle, QUAYLE.com. Thank you so much, George.
How's Stephanie doing, our singer?
Stephanie's doing good. She was in Nashville for the big CMA deal, in July or whatever, and she was out here in Montana at the Livingston Fair. And I'll tell you what, she's putting on a heck of a show, and I sure love to listen to her new songs. Sugar High.
Stephen Quayle, there he is. Stephanie, by the way, is his daughter. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasaur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Knapp, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe.